They're not ready to do it themselves yet. They're not quite responsible enough to handle the money. So I want you to put them through college, and that's why I'm giving you the inheritance. Use this inheritance for the good of your brothers and sisters, for the blessing of your brothers and sisters. Right? That's how the biblical doctrine of election works. It is good news, even for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, that Israel is the chosen people. Right? That's hard to get used to. It's good news even for non-Jews that Israel is the chosen people. But I think that's how the biblical doctrine works. Israel is chosen for the blessing of all nations. Jacob is chosen for the blessing of Esau. It turns out, in the Jacob and Esau story in Genesis, the actual story about the individual Jacob and Esau, Jacob steals the blessing from Esau. Esau tries to kill him, and Jacob goes into exile and hiding. When he comes back from exile years and years later, he is blessed with flocks and herds and many children. And he's terrified of what he's going to run into when he runs into Esau, who has 400 armed men with him. So Jacob sends the flocks and the herds ahead and says, my brother Esau, take a present. Take my gift. Take my blessing. He says, accept this blessing from me. Jacob blesses Esau with his own blessing. That's how it's supposed to work. Jacob is blessed for the blessing of Esau. And Esau has to accept it because Jacob insists. So Jacob insists on blessing his brother. Right? The chosen blesses the one who is not chosen, because that's what the blessing, that's what the choice of God, the election is all about, is blessing for all. There is a place for curse. Remember, I read it, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. So Paul, in this passage in Romans that we're talking about, goes on to talk about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Right? If you're opposed to the Jews, if you hate the people of Israel, then you are under the curse of God. And Pharaoh discovers this when God wins a great victory over him by the 10 plagues and the Red Sea and makes a name for himself. You shall know that I am the Lord, says God in Exodus. Right? So there is a place for cursing in this story. But the goal of it all is blessing, not curse. The point of it all is to bless all nations, not this sort of even-handedness where some get blessed and some get cursed. No, it's about blessing. The curse is the bad part of the story. There is a bad part of the story, but it's not what the story is all about. Back to Paul. Why is Paul talking about this? Well, remember the situation in Paul's time, right? The church is a basically Jewish idea. Right? Jesus is a Jew, his apostles are Jews, the early Christians are all Jews, and they're wondering, well, what do we do with these Gentiles? Surprise, surprise, all these Gentiles want to believe in a Jewish Messiah, right? And Christianity is very rapidly becomes a Gentile project. Later on, the Gentiles, I think, want to steal the blessing from the Jews and become the chosen ones. But right now, the question is, what do we do with all these Gentiles? And the Gentiles are justified by faith alone in Christ. And then you have the problem, well, what about all these Jews who don't believe in Jesus? What's going on there? Right? It seems like the unbelief of the Jews has been good for the Gentiles, right? In fact, that's what happens. Paul goes to the synagogue, preaches to the Jews, they don't accept it. He goes off and preaches to the Gentiles, right? So the unbelief of the Jews, the disobedience of the Jews has been good for the Gentiles. But that's an old Jewish story. The Jews are good for the Gentiles. Israel is for the blessing of all nations. The Jew, Jesus, is for the blessing of the whole world. That's very biblical, right? But now comes the twist in the story. The Gentiles are supposed to be good for Israel. Here is how Paul puts it. Just as you, Gentile Christians, says Paul, were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, the disobedience of the Jews, so they now have been disobedient, that is, the Jews don't believe in Christ, in order that, by the mercy shown to you Gentiles, they also may receive mercy. That's the twist at the end of the story. The plot twist is, not only is Israel for the blessing of all nations, that's the old biblical story, right? Jesus is a Jew blessing all the world. But now, even the Gentiles, in their belief in Jesus, should be a blessing to the Jews, right? Everyone receives their blessing from someone else. Gentiles receive their blessing from the Jews. Jews receive their blessing from the Gentiles. That's a real twist at the end of the story. Isn't that good news? You got to get used to the idea that it's good for you that you receive your blessing from someone else. Gentiles need to get used to the idea that it's good for them, that the Jews are the chosen people. The fact that Christians have tried to say that we're the chosen people now and the Jews aren't, that I think is the root of the whole problem. Because that means, oh, I'm Jacob, you're Esau. I'm a Christian, you're a Jew, you're just like Esau now, you're not Jacob anymore, therefore you're the one who's damned. I'm the one who's saved, you're the one who's damned. That Christian attitude toward the Jews, we are now the chosen people, not you Jews. That, I think, is the source of this terrible problem of the doctrine of election. Once you get the notion that Gentile Christians ought to be glad that the Jews are the chosen people, glad to receive their blessing from another. Everyone receives their blessing from someone else, Jews from Gentiles, Gentiles from Jews. At that point, the doctrine of election, the doctrine of God's choices, becomes good news, not bad news.